KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello and good morning. I'm Chris Fiorentino, your host for the next 30 minutes, and I'm really happy you've joined us today. Each week, we talk with people who are making our community better and creating really enhanced learning experiences for Fresno State students through service. Today, we get to focus in on one of the university's most valued community partners, Every Neighborhood Partnership, or ENP. ENP is a local community benefit organization that works with hundreds of Fresno State students each year, engaging them in service that's meaningful for them and really very meaningful and beneficial for our community. With us today is the executive director of Every Neighborhood Partnership, Artie Padilla. Welcome, Artie.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also, a gentleman I've been able to work with over the last several years, Darren Person, who's the coordinator of Fresno Unified School District's Mentoring and Alliance Program. Good to see you, Darren. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for this opportunity.
I'm with Artie, and Darren is a student here at Fresno State, Miss Kimberly Tenbergen, and she's also been a volunteer with ENP. And Kimberly, appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much.
So Artie, let's start with you, if you don't mind. Before we get into all things ENP, let's talk about all things Artie Padilla. So can you tell us a little about yourself?
Sure. I was born and raised in Fresno, lived here pretty much all of my life. I moved down to Southern California for college for 3 years, but my family and this being my home just brought me back. And over the course of time, I got involved in community service myself as a volunteer, and that has led to my occupation being director of Every Neighborhood Partnership.
So, you know, I get a great opportunity to work with a lot of really wonderful agencies in our community. And, you know, there's a lot of fantastic agencies out there, and I never like to sort of raise one above the other. I think that one of the great things about EMP, or Every Neighborhood Partnership, is that there's probably not a more dynamic but sometimes little known organization as ENP and all the work that you do. And I'm wondering, since it's such a vibrant program, that maybe we can kind of take it piece by piece and you can tell us a little about the program and what your mission is and all of the different things that you do in our community.
Sure. Thank you. And thank you for the kind words. We serve the community. Really, we zeroed it into two areas, serving on school campuses and in neighborhoods. So on the school campus, we have a Saturday sports program. Tons of volunteers from Fresno State come and help out. It's just a two-hour recreational period where we provide a safe, fun place for the kids to go to on a Saturday morning. We also have literacy mentors, and Kimberly's going to be sharing about that. So we address literacy in our city with volunteers in the schools, in the classrooms. We also have mentoring clubs, and Darren's going to give more information on that. But in the neighborhoods, we do empowerment of residents. We do service projects, cleanup projects, beautification projects on school campuses, at parks, in the streets and alleys. And we utilize volunteers throughout the year in that area as well.
About how many volunteers altogether do you guys work with in a given year?
In 1 year, we mobilize about 120,000 volunteer hours.
Wow.
That's with about 2,500, 3,000 volunteers.
Yeah. So a lot of people from all over the city are involved. And that's one of the things that I think is always interesting about your organization. You do so much and you work with so many people, yet it's not like the Red Cross. Everybody knows, you know, or has heard of the Red Cross or Poverello House. But ENP, working with as many people as you do, you're still sometimes not as well known. And I think what's, again, your mission and your vision, it really speaks to this idea of equipping churches and schools and neighborhoods to thrive. And I'm curious, so you mentioned some of those programs, for example, the Saturday sports program. So 2 hours every Saturday. How many sites are you at for that program?
We currently have 33 Saturday sports school sites throughout the year.
So every Saturday morning, 33 schools, you got volunteers out there.
And not all of them are active every Saturday.
Okay.
So it depends on the rotation of the volunteer team. So some of them go every other week. Some go first and third Saturdays of the month. The majority of them do every Saturday, but then some of them will take a summer break because of the heat. There's a health issue in our heat with kids running around. But on average, there's about 24 active ones on Saturdays.
Okay. It's still a big number.
Yeah.
And what's the number of kids that show up to those things? I've heard it ranges. But
yeah, every neighborhood's different. The average size is about 70 kids.
Okay.
So we have some schools with about 130, 140 kids, and some with 25 to 30 kids.
Yeah.
So each neighborhood's unique.
But with about 24 active sites on any given Saturday, you're talking about, you know, quite a big number of kids that are offered a safe, enjoyable place to go and be with people who are there to serve them.
Yeah. So there's probably about 1,300 to 1,500 kids out there every Saturday morning.
And am I correct that every Saturday, so they're coming in, they're taking part in arts and crafts and athletic programs like basketball or baseball or soccer or whatever else. They're also getting at times some enrichment programming that there might be some special lesson planning that goes in and provides them with some instruction in something in particular. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. And we're actually really incorporating a lot of recreational activities that are a little more inclusive, not so much sports related, but all engaging, and actually a lot of them are geared towards addressing adverse childhood experiences, a trauma that kids have, okay. With resiliency type of recreational activities. So that's what we're really jumping into because that's a felt need in our community.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, do they all, or is it just some sites that actually the kids leave with a lunch?
All of them.
They all leave with a lunch.
Yeah,
because in many cases, these kids are coming from homes that, you know, the food's not always accessible.
Yeah. And sometimes, sadly, this is the most balanced meal of their weekend.
Mm. And these are, we are talking about schools that are in lower income areas of Fresno and Clovis, right?
The majority of them. Yes.
So then you talked a little bit about this literacy mentors program, and I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and I'm going to let Kimberly share a little bit about it. But because of the felt need of literacy in our school district, you know, less than a third of our kids can read at their grade level. And with third grade being the barometer of if you can't read by third grade, they no longer teach you how to read after that. That's a really pivotal point.
Yeah.
So we're really working, zeroing in on K through third and funneling all of our volunteers into those grade levels to try to get as many kids reading at their grade level so that they can thrive once they get beyond third grade. So we have an opportunity to just flood our elementary schools with volunteers, trained volunteers to work with the kids in the classrooms, assisting the teachers. And honestly, if we can keep building that, we could change the pathway of a lot of kids by allowing them to be on reading grade level by third grade.
And those sites where you have literacy mentors, same sites as where the Saturday sports programs are, different?
A lot of the same, yeah. So it really depends on what the capacities of each partnership volunteer team has.
Yeah.
If they have ability to serve in the classroom during the weekday, then we'll place them there. A lot of the teams, most of their availability is on Saturday morning, so the Saturday sports is the best option for them.
And Darren, when we talk about, when Artie mentions that thing about how important that third grade reading grade level is, you know, this is stuff that's right in your wheelhouse because of the mentoring and literacy program that you run. And I'm wondering, before we get into talking about that, maybe you can just tell us about yourself a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. I'm not from Fresno. I'm actually from Bakersfield down the street, but it's just as hot. Before coming here to Fresno, I actually finished school in Bakersfield and headed out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I graduated from Oral Roberts University. Then in looking for a program to get into for a master's program, I came here to Fresno State.
Okay.
And I've been here ever since. I actually teach at Fresno State within the social work department as well. But I have the privilege of running the mentor office for Fresno Unified School District, in which I have for the last about 11 years. We started really having probably on an average of 200 students that were receiving some type of mentoring. We're happy to say, especially with the support of Every Neighborhood Partnership and others in our community, we have probably over 3,000 students that are connected to some type of mentoring throughout Fresno.
Wow.
I run that department in addition to something that's called Men's and Women's Alliance, which is also focuses on at-risk students that need additional support, but is a little bit more comprehensive. But of a lot of our work, that what we've tried to do here is really to impact the students that kind of already has been focusing on and talking about. So
yeah,
seeing a lot of good things.
Fresno Unified, it's a huge district, right? It's about the fourth largest in the state.
Yeah, yeah.
73,000 students, I think, is what I saw on the website.
Yes.
So with that huge population, you know, the kids are coming to your schools in Fresno Unified with lots of experiences and backgrounds. A lot of them are good. Some of them are, you know, those experiences and backgrounds are not so good as far as being favorable to an education setting. And I'm wondering if you could talk about that a little bit. Why are mentors needed so bad? Why are these literacy mentors and tutors so vital?
Well, I think in two parts. One, we're of the belief in our mentoring office that you need a significant relationship which will influence how you learn. I think it kind of goes back to the basics or Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You need that, right? Or the majority of us need that. And what we've seen over the years with mentoring, and not just from a deficit approach where you have students that struggle that need mentors, but even those that maybe do well academically, but have other issues in the home and they still need support.
Yeah.
So we said both hands. And then when you combine reading, when you talk about reading, I already mentioned a little bit about the struggles that we have with students in reading, especially students of color, where we see a lot of deficiencies in those areas. So when you combine those two, you can see the power that can occur where, one, you have a relationship. Two, once that relationship is established, then you can actually do some of the more the learning that can occur.
Yeah, I think the reality is while so many of these young kids today, and it's not just Fresno Unified, it's everywhere, they may come from a home where they don't have two positive role models. They might have one, they might have none. Yeah. And so to have a mentor that's working with them in the schools, providing them that positive influence and that positive modeling is, and just really showing them that somebody cares about them, believes in them, and will support them in whatever it may be that they're struggling with, either academically or personally.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on. I'm actually a product of mentoring. That's why I'm so fortunate and blessed to be able to do the job that I do. Unfortunately, I didn't have a father in the home who spent a lot of time in prison. But it was the mentors. Back then, we didn't call them mentors. You know, I didn't know what mentors meant. It was more of a coach, a guy named Elijah Deck would come pick me up. And then he has me involved in sports. And then before you know it, he was mentoring me and he didn't even know it. I was just impacted the very fact that he had a job and was a fireman. So I was thinking, maybe I can be a fireman. And to your point, a lot of the young men as well as young women that we deal with within our district that's involved in our mentoring programs don't have that. I was in one classroom the other day and I asked how many of them have a father in home. Over half did not.
Yeah.
Or that it's involved in a single parent home. So, I mean, that's what we're up against within not only our district, but in our county. And mentors play a heavy part. And it's organizations like Every Neighborhood Partnership that's kind of helped change the culture with even in our district. And I think has also impacted the community to want to give.
So let's talk about that relationship between your office and Fresno Unified and EMP a little bit. How long has that been in existence and what's that look like?
Well, that's interesting. You kind of asked. When I first started, I heard about a guy named Artie Padilla. I was like, hey, man, why don't you come over?
Yeah.
Let's talk. I don't know if Artie remember the moment, but we were in my office and he showed me his map and what they wanted to do, like, you know, really just kind of take over the city, if you will, in terms of
influence. In a good way.
In a good way. Yeah. Very good way. He showed me this map and he had these colors and he wanted to be in so many schools. So we started talking about how we can work together. I was just starting. I'm not sure how long you were in your role, but I don't think that many years. Just starting. So it was perfect timing. And I knew what the impact of the churches could do or volunteers that were in the churches, because if you look at the neighborhoods, you see there are groups or churches and that want to impact, and they're in the neighborhood just as much as other groups are there. So we kind of started down this road of first figuring out policies and procedures, because at the time we really didn't have a set policy in terms of taking in volunteers and making sure if we do grow that is done safely, you know, making sure folk were background checked and so forth. So we started there. And for that, Fresno Unified Mentoring began to grow. ENP began to grow. Obviously, Saturday sports programs began to grow. And now we're talking about literacy mentoring, parent engagement, community support. We're kind of integrated there of the very fabric of Fresno Unified School District.
Well, I want to get Kimberly in here. And Kimberly, at your experience with EMP and with the Literacy Mentor Program is something I really want to talk about. But before we do that, maybe you can just talk about who you are, a little self-introduction.
Yeah, my name is Kimberly Tembergen. I was born in South Africa. Mm. I've kind of moved all around the world, lived in different states, and somehow ended up here in Fresno. And I truly think that Fresno is my home. After the amount of time that I've been in Fresno, I've just started to fall in love with Fresno for the first time. Being involved in these programs, being involved in Fresno State, just having that sense of pride. Fresno is really my stomping grounds. It's really where I'm going to put down my roots. And Fresno is amazing. You wouldn't think it, but.
Yeah. I think that a lot of times we get knocked for a lot of things, and it is a good place.
Yeah. I came to Fresno State for my undergrad, and I got my bachelor's in psychology. Turns out I loved it so much, I decided to come back to graduate school in school psychology. So I'm a current school psychology graduate student here at Fresno State. Just finished out my first year, so I have two more to go. Yeah.
So what about your EMP story? How long have you been involved and what do you do with them?
I've been volunteering with EMP as a literacy mentor. And the way that we've talked about it, it's really nailed it right on the head. It's literacy. We're dealing with reading, and we're also really dealing with mentoring these kids. So what I do as a literacy mentor, it's basically you're a classroom volunteer who works one-on-one with these students individually. And so your goal is to get these kids reading. They have this list of 200 different sight words that we would really like them to be reading by the end of the school year. And so you go into the classroom and you're just working with them, teaching them these words, using them in sentences, hoping that they can use these words in context and read books. And I don't know if you know, but the English language is really, really complicated. There are so many words that you cannot sound out, right, and they don't follow the rules. And so those are sight words. That is what we are teaching these kids. And it's really the basic building block and the foundation of reading is some of these things you just have to memorize and you just have to really practice and work at. So that's what we do, is we start with that and we try and teach the kids to read through those ways. And we do that through just reading flashcards, through playing games, through I'm going to say this word, now you put it into a sentence. Yeah. So it's a really fun experience. You get to play with it and kind of make it your own. It's not a set in stone. You have to say this word for word and teach these kids the same thing. You're working with these kids and you can go into a classroom and one kid might know all 200 of their sight words and another kid might only know two.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get to play with them and really individualize this literacy mentoring program. These kids that know all 200, we still work with them because they love the support and they love the attention and they just love to be encouraged and loved. And so we don't discriminate like, oh, no, you know your words. We're not going to work with you. And so it's just great to see these kids start from nothing and really grow into something or start with something and then just continue to flourish from there.
Right. And so you're working with what age group? What grade level?
I was working with first grade and second grade. I worked with a full first grade classroom where I would rotate these kids. And then I was put into a second grade classroom with some kids who, about four of them, who didn't even know their first grade words. Mm. So my second grade classroom was a little bit more, they needed extra help.
Yeah. And these kids are coming from backgrounds. Probably most of the kids that you end up working with, like you're talking about the four kids that don't even know their first grade sight words, in many cases, they are English language learners. Their
Absolutely.
Primary language is not English. In fact, I heard a story, and Darren, you might be able to, that there's like something like 117 different primary languages spoken by kids in Fresno Unified. So you're getting these kids, Kimberly, and in many cases, English isn't spoken at home.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, they're coming to school for the first time in first or second grade, and they haven't had an opportunity to ever study English.
Yeah.
So when you think, how does a kid in second grade not know their first grade words? Well, there's a whole lot of reasons why that might happen, and you're there to help them get caught up.
Yeah, absolutely. I worked with a second grader who his dad only speaks Spanish. Mom is not a part of his life. So he's coming to school learning English for the very first time. So not only was he learning to read, but he's also learning a new language. In a first grade class, there was a Syrian refugee. She doesn't know any English. And so it's not just that we're teaching these words and you have to learn them, but it's also supporting them and saying, if you need help, ask for help. I'm here. I care about you. I'm here to encourage you. And so it's more than just reading words on a paper. While that is the goal, the mentorship really does play a really special part in it.
Yeah. So as a psychology student, did this service provide you with any new insights or understandings of the kinds of things that you're studying in the class or about your goal of being a school psychologist?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're in class, you read these textbooks and you read these research articles about how important reading is and what a deficit there is. But when you're volunteering with ENP, you are really in the thick of it. You are really seeing these kids and their real experiences and seeing the things that they're struggling with. Sometimes their mind is not even on school. They're dealing with home problems. And so reading is the last thing that they want to do. But when you're actually there and you're seeing it, you know different ways that you can help these kids and you recognize the importance of collaborating students and the community and teachers and parents. Everybody needs to kind of come together. And so working this organization, you really see that and you really see how important community impact on these students' lives, like what a big difference that it's going to make on these kids.
What about for Kimberly, you personally? I mean, what's that feeling like of working with those kids?
It's absolutely incredible. It's probably one of the best life experiences I've ever had is working with these kids and really seeing them grow day to day. Literacy and reading has really, really been a passion for me for such a long time. There's a statistic that is floating around that California prison beds are based on the number of kids who can't read by third grade.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how they pre-plan, you know, all that stuff. And so this summer I've been volunteering at the juvenile hall because that's where the kids could end up if we're not providing that extra additional support. So to really see it in real life, to see where these kids could go, learning about these kids in juvenile hall, like what has gotten them there, and knowing that we can make such a difference starting in preschool, starting in kindergarten, it's incredible. So it definitely reaffirms my passion and everything that I want to do as a school psychologist later in life.
And you had said before the show when we were talking, you know, all of this has come about in an hour a week for you.
Absolutely.
You know, what a powerful hour, not only for you, but for the kids.
Yeah, you go into the classroom and you're there for 1 hour a week, and the difference that you can really make in their lives within that 1 hour, it's 60 minutes and you can completely transform their little lives.
And Artie, I think one of the great things about your organization is that you provide those opportunities for volunteers to come in for an hour, once a week, twice a week, whatever it works for them. It can be on a Monday or a Saturday or, you know, whatever else. So it's very flexible.
I also kind of wanted to mention is Artie was saying that all of these volunteers are trained, and yes, they are, but you don't need to come with any special training. I'm just a Fresno State student, didn't have, you know, training in specific literacy skills or training in how to mentor a kid, but you just come and they take you as you are and you get to do these little trainings with them, and you don't need that special experience to really make an impact in these kids' lives.
Yeah. Yeah, we provide a very open menu because we know that student schedules every semester changes, and we just want to provide the most efficient and convenient on-ramp to serve as possible. And we want it to be something that they're really wanting to do. So we're not going to place someone at Saturday sports if they don't like kids, but we can have them serve in the neighborhoods with adults.
Yeah.
You know, so the flexibility is certainly there for any student if they look at their schedule.
So Artie, you and Darren, between your two programs, you probably work with thousands of Fresno State volunteers over the years. Can you talk just a little bit about what working with these students is like? Are they really beneficial to your organization and to your mission?
Yeah, I'll start. Darren mentioned that when we first started as an organization, our primary customer, and still is, the church volunteers. But working with Fresno State about 2 years into ENP's existence, really the university students are our second primary customer in a sense for volunteerism. We mobilize every semester on average 200, 220 university students from Fresno State.
Really impressive.
So we flood them to our Saturday sports, into the classrooms, serving in the neighborhood, spring break, summer, winter break. We've had some that just keep coming back year after year after year. I've hired 2 Fresno State students because of the community service programs, just because I've seen their work ethic as volunteers. So yeah, they are such a huge injection of energy into our programs because of their youth. The elementary school age students connect with them very quickly. They just provide a new dynamic at Saturday sports or on the school campus. There's so many huge wins to working with the university. And we've seen changes. We've seen students from Fresno State come into the classrooms and they thought they wanted to be teachers.
Yeah.
But through that experience, they realized that's not their best fit.
And that's a good thing.
Absolutely. But we've seen the opposite. We've had some, and even in the SIS department, Scholars in Service, now we have students that want to be teachers because of that experience. So, you know, it gives them, as Kimberly mentioned, a real life experience for them to see where is their calling. Maybe it is working with kids and they didn't realize that, or maybe it's not working. That's just as important. It's not working with kids. So there's value in that as well.
Darren, anything to add about working with students in particular?
Oh, yeah. For us, wow, what would we do without Fresno State students? I mean, they play a vital role in our mentoring programs. One of the biggest days of the year that we look forward to is coming here for the fair.
Big community service opportunities fair every year. Yeah.
I bought a new banner just for that.
Right.
I said, Judy, who's our facilitator, I said, let's make it look real pretty so all the volunteers can come to us and we're going to be giving candy too. But for us, they're in every part of our mentoring programs, from our peer mentoring, from our e-mentoring program, from one-on-one mentoring. We have them in the classrooms. They make up a large part of the volunteers that we get that are mentors now. To, I guess, Artie's statement, I actually hired one as well.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, before I came here today, I was just meeting with a Fresno State student who was running my peer mentoring program, who's now going to give some more hours for me during the year. So, yeah, it's really, really, they play a large part in what we do.
Well, and we really appreciate, on behalf of the university, you working with our students, because we know that it doesn't come without challenges. It certainly is. It requires an investment of your time and your effort and your resources from your agency. But we're sure glad that they help. And I'm wondering if there are students out there listening, or anybody who's listening who says, you know, I want to volunteer. I want to get involved in these programs that are working with these kids. How do they go about getting more information or signing up? Darren, maybe you first.
Well, yeah, for us, you can contact Fresno Unified Mentoring Office at 457-3368.
457-3368. 3368. 457-3368.
Yeah, we have a lot of opportunities for them. I mean, of course, we work with Every Neighborhood Partnership. We're partners. So even if that's an opportunity for them, I work with Artie. So I send volunteers his way. He do the same for us. But within our district, we have, again, I talked about the various type of mentoring programs. Some, it take an hour e-mentoring where you're going online and you might be a little busy. Might take 15 minutes. So again, call us if you have a need. To Artie's point earlier, sometimes you're not sure how comfortable you are working with students, or I take students that are social workers and not sure yet. It's a great opportunity for you to kind of dive in there, see how you like it. And of course, what you get back, I mean, it's priceless. Changes the life of a student, one of our students, but I hear it all the time. It'll change their life as well.
And Artie, how about if somebody wants to volunteer directly with you? How do they get more information?
You can call our office and Becca, our admin, will chat with them about those opportunities. 400-7310.
One more time.
400-7310.
Okay.
Or you can go to our website, everyneighborhood.org, and that'll give you a good summary of all the things we do around the city.
Great. And we'll post both of those phone numbers and the website to our Facebook site as well. Kimberly, something to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I started working with ENP because it was a classroom assignment. I was supposed to do 40 hours with any volunteer program, and I had stumbled upon ENP, and it was so easy to meet those 40 hours. It didn't feel like work, and in fact, I exceeded those hours. And you feel so appreciated by these young kids that you're really making a difference in, and ENP really does an amazing job by making you feel amazing. They're always encouraging you. They're always telling you how important you are and what an impact you're making. And so if you have any questions, just do it, because it's a great way to just feel good about yourself, to feel like you're being a part of this community and really making a difference in these lives.
You know, it's so great for us to spend this 30 minutes talking about good things in our community. We hear about the bad so much. And I just think that Every Neighborhood Partnership is one of those real gems in our community, as is the mentoring program and certainly volunteers like you, Kimberly. Artie, honestly, I think you're one of the unsung heroes in Fresno, and I really appreciate you being here today. But all your work in the community and your staff at Every Neighborhood Partnership, I really appreciate everything they do. And Darren, your staff, Judy and others. Judy, I know quite well the important work you're doing. Thank you so much. And Kimberly, for the time that you spend doing this work. I know your dad, and I'm sure he instilled a lot of service ethic in you because he's so involved in the communities. So it's people like you who make our community better for everybody. And thank you very much. To all our listeners, thanks again for joining us. Please tune in next Sunday at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. Tell us what you think about today's show. And don't forget, call one or both of these programs and sign up to volunteer. I'm sure you will be happy you did. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at KFSR.org. Thanks, and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.